Atenção, senhores espectadores. Muito boa tarde.
Corkout History presents
Grândola Vila Morena,
Picard Nation Revolution.
A partir deste momento, o movimento das Forças Armadas,
brought to you by André Andinês,
controla totalmente a rede emissora da Rádio e Televisão Portuguesa.
I think music makes part of the earliest memories we have connected to the revolution. For us, or at least Inês and I and our generation, a generation born in democracy, and we must mention as well the glorious 90s, the songs from the revolutionary period were always present. They were always amongst our families, amongst our friends. They were present in celebrations. And we were fortunate enough to be born in a time in which celebrating the revolution of the 25th of April of 1974 was a given fact. Like, it was part of our lives, of our year, the celebration of April. It was taught in schools, it was celebrated every year, and there were not yet the whispers of revisionists of history that are now trying to look back, but we're not going to give them any stage here. During the Portuguese dictatorship, during that longest dictatorship in Europe, music was there, more or less overtly being part of the resistance. And it will play a key role specifically in the defining hours of the revolution, on the day of the revolution, but we'll get to that eventually. In the landscape of Portuguese music during the dictatorship, we had, of course, fado. And fado is probably something you might have heard about. Fado is a traditional Portuguese music genre that is known for its melancholic and poetic themes, but that during this time was also used as a subtle form of protest. While not explicitly political, the lyrics of some fado songs were subtly criticizing the social and political conditions of the time. From the singers of popular neighborhoods to names like Amália Rodrigues, considered the queen of fado, all navigated censorship by using metaphorical language and symbolism to convey messages of resistance. There were also many protest songs that emerged from the folk traditions. José Afonso, also known as Zeca Afonso, was one of the most influential musicians in Portugal's protest movement. His music combined folk, traditional Portuguese elements, and some elements from the former Portuguese colonies, and, of course, political elements that would create powerful anthems of resistance.
Morte saiu à rua num dia assim. Naquele lugar.
Afonso's song Grândola Vila Morena became the actual anthem of the Carnation Revolution, but we'll get there. Then, of course, were also the many names of what would become known as protest music, a genre that flourished in Portugal, but also in Italy, in Latin America, wherever powers were trying to silence people. Iconic figures of the Portuguese protest music scene, both in the country and in exile, include names like Adriano Correia de Oliveira, José Afonso, José Mário Branco, Sérgio Godinho, Luís Cília, the group GAC, Vitorino, Fausto Bordal Dias, amongst many others. Facing, of course, censorship, prison and exile, and combining metaphorical and more open critiques, the song became an actual arm, and that's even the chorus of one of those songs. A cantiga é uma arma.
A cantiga é uma arma. Eu não sabia. Tudo depende da bala e da pontaria.
Music was always a stage for protest, and even the participation in Eurovision, yes, the Eurovision Song Contest, gave room for that. Portugal's debut in the Eurovision was in 1964, during the regime's era, of course, and it was marked by a very significant event that the RTP, the national broadcaster, chose not to broadcast. There was a protest against the dictatorship on stage. With Portugal participating for the first time in Eurovision, with an audience of 150 million people worldwide, there was a very high level of concern from the authorities. António Calvário, the Portuguese artist that was chosen this year, was closely monitored by a consulate official to control his statements due to the fragile external image of the Portuguese political regime. And of course, it was the most memorable incident of this festival when, after the performance of the Swiss singer, a man entered the stage with a sign reading "Boycott Franco and Salazar," the two dictators from the Iberian Peninsula. Despite the incident, the competition continued without further disruptions, and Portugal never showed that bit of the event on television. In 1967, Eduardo Nascimento went forward to represent Portugal in the 12th Eurovision Song Contest, held in Vienna, where O Vento Mudou finished in joint 12th place of the 17 entries. The regime knew how to use this event, and it's not by accident that Nascimento was the first ever black male performer at the Eurovision, while Portugal was more and more alone in the international scene due to the colonial war that was ongoing. Portugal and Eurovision and the festival would be a whole other episode, but let's not forget that in the middle of the dictatorship, Simone de Oliveira in 1969 sang "Who makes a child makes it for pleasure," escaping the censors and sending shockwaves through society. Until today, no one can really explain how this song managed to be the big winner of the night. It was an historical blunder for censorship. In the Portuguese context, so this would be the contest where the singer would be elected to go to the Eurovision, so it's called Festival da Canção. And hundreds of people took to the streets to celebrate Simone's victory when she left Lisbon when she headed to Eurovision. Everyone, except the censors, understood the impact of this event. The lyrics of Desfolhada, the song that she sang, were a scandal, but the regime was too late to rectify it. But it was not only that, also everything around the song, as Luís Pedro Cabral writes, was a feast for censorship. The music was by Nuno Nazaré Fernandes, and the lyrics were by José Carlos Ari dos Santos, a young poet who had just joined the Portuguese Communist Party that same year and wasn't hiding his homosexuality. The song, in fact, was initially submitted with a title that was very neutral, Found Legend. As many songs that were submitted with pseudonyms and alternative titles to avoid censorship, and this one made it. But back to the overall music scene. We all grew up with echoes of those songs and knowing by heart the two songs that were fundamental for the day of the revolution. We will tell you about those very, very soon. Now you can grab your Spotify and write 25th of April 1974. There you'll find a playlist with all this, which are now classics, but that we all grew up listening to. These fundamental songs and so important in telling the truth and in fighting the regime while it was standing. We hope they inspire you, and we hope that they serve as reminders of the struggles for freedom and democracy in Portugal and the many shapes that resistance takes. And this is where we'll stop for now. Join us on the next episode.
Until then, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Corkout History Pod, where you can reach out to us, let us know your thoughts, and discover more about the episodes.
Don't forget to rate and subscribe wherever you're listening to us.
Your comments really are crucial so that more people can find us.
Bye! Bye. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do